What drives a brilliant young man to murder? In the sweltering summer heat of St. Petersburg, Raskolnikov, a former student living in abject poverty, convinces himself that killing a worthless pawnbroker would benefit society while solving his financial problems. His cramped garret room with peeling yellow wallpaper mirrors his spiritual death, a coffin-like existence where his mind fractures under its own contradictions. Raskolnikov has developed a theory dividing humanity. Ordinary people must obey laws, while extraordinary individuals, like Napoleon, may transgress moral boundaries for the greater good. The brilliance of this psychological portrait lies in how we understand Raskolnikov's twisted logic without endorsing it. We witness his elaborate justifications. The pawnbroker is a louse, someone whose death would benefit others, while simultaneously seeing glimpses of his better nature through spontaneous acts of generosity. When he finally commits the murder, the carefully planned crime immediately unravels when the pawnbroker's innocent sister unexpectedly appears, forcing him to kill her too. The visceral details, the axe striking bone, trembling hands, growing panic, reveal how quickly grand philosophical justifications crumble in the face of brutal reality. The true brilliance emerges after the murder as we witness Raskolnikov's psychological disintegration. Rather than focusing on whether he'll be caught, we explore something more profound: how a crime punishes its perpetrator from within. After the murders, Raskolnikov falls into a delirious fever. Upon recovery, he oscillates between paranoia and reckless boldness, even visiting the crime scene as if subconsciously wanting to be discovered. Isolation becomes both his defense and torture. He pushes away his devoted friend Razumihin and treats his family with inexplicable cruelty. "Whether I sink or swim, I want to be alone," he tells them, deepening his own suffering. His inner turmoil manifests physically through fever, trembling, and fainting spells. In one revealing scene, he nearly confesses at the police station, but faints instead, his body betraying what his mind refuses to acknowledge. The relationship between Raskolnikov and investigating magistrate Porfiry Petrovich creates one of literature's most fascinating psychological duels. Porfiry works through psychological insight rather than physical evidence, playing an elaborate cat-and-mouse game to make Raskolnikov reveal himself. Their first conversation about Raskolnikov's published article quickly turns to whether extraordinary men might consider themselves justified in committing murder. Their second encounter intensifies when Porfiry creates an atmosphere of nervous uncertainty, pacing around like a little ball rolling off in various directions before suddenly revealing knowledge of Raskolnikov's suspicious behavior. While Crime and Punishment explores the darkest aspects of human nature, it ultimately affirms the possibility of redemption through suffering. This theme emerges powerfully through Sonya Marmeladova, a young woman forced into prostitution to support her family, who maintains a profound religious faith that baffles the intellectual Raskolnikov. In one of the most moving scenes, Raskolnikov asks her to read the biblical story of Lazarus. As she reads loudly and rapturously, we witness faith transcending degrading circumstances. What makes Sonya extraordinary is her compassion without judgment. When Raskolnikov confesses his crime, her response isn't horror, but empathy. "No, no, nobody in the whole world is unhappier than you are now." Raskolnikov's journey toward redemption continues in a Siberian prison where he serves his 8-year sentence. He remains unrepentant for most of this time, clinging to his theory while treating Sonya coldly despite her faithful visits. The turning point comes as he gazes across the river at the distant steppe. When Sonya appears beside him, something breaks within him. He fell at her feet. He wept, embracing her knees. This moment represents not just romantic love, but spiritual rebirth. Raskolnikov finally abandoning his pride and accepting human connection. St. Petersburg functions as an active force shaping character psychology, not merely a backdrop. Dostoevsky portrays it as a feverish, claustrophobic labyrinth of narrow streets and cramped apartments, mirroring Raskolnikov's mental state. The oppressive summer heat creates a suffocating atmosphere where it was terribly hot out, and moreover, it was close, crowded, making extreme actions seem more plausible. Raskolnikov's wanderings reveal stark contrasts between Nevsky Prospect's relative affluence and the Haymarket District's squalor. He encounters drunk girls, suicides, begging children, and prostitutes, urban tableaux that fuel his resentment and contextualize his crime. The city's architecture reinforces themes of confinement. Narrow staircases wind like serpents, cramped apartments press down on inhabitants, and courtyards described as wells create a sense of entrapment. Crime and Punishment employs character doubles reflecting aspects of Raskolnikov's personality he cannot fully acknowledge. Svidrigaïlov serves as his darkest double, a man who has embraced amorality without guilt, viewing conscience as merely indigestion. His statement, "We're two of a kind," terrifies precisely because it contains partial truth. Razumikin functions as Raskolnikov's positive double, sharing his intelligence but directing it toward constructive ends. Where Raskolnikov isolates himself, Razumikin builds connections. Sonya represents both his opposite and potential salvation. Like him, she has transgressed social norms, yet her transgression maintains human connection, while his causes isolation. Throughout the novel, Dostoevsky mounts a powerful critique of rationalism and utilitarianism that were gaining popularity in mid-19th century Russia. Raskolnikov's crime emerges directly from these intellectual currents, making the novel both a psychological study and a philosophical challenge. His justification for murder, that eliminating one harmful person could benefit many others, represents a perverse application of utilitarian thinking. The novel exposes the dangerous consequences of purely rational approaches to human problems. Reality intrudes on Raskolnikov's theoretical justifications in ways he never anticipated. Lizaveta's unexpected presence, his physical revulsion after the murder, and his inability to use the stolen goods. Against these rational systems, Dostoevsky posits faith, compassion, and suffering as truer paths to understanding. Sonya's simple faith appears irrational by conventional standards, yet the novel suggests her perspective grasps truths that Raskolnikov's clever theories miss entirely. When he asks what God has done for her, she replies, "He does everything," an answer incomprehensible to pure reason, but containing wisdom that ultimately proves more enduring than theory. What makes this 19th century Russian novel feel so contemporary? Its psychological insights anticipate modern understandings of trauma, dissociation, and moral injury. Its exploration of radicalization feels startlingly relevant. Raskolnikov's progression from isolated theorizing to violent action mirrors patterns in modern extremism, where individuals develop distorted worldviews justifying violence against dehumanized others. The novel's critique of utilitarian thinking challenges us. Can human life be reduced to cost-benefit calculations? As algorithms increasingly make decisions affecting lives, the novel's insistence on irreducible human worth counterbalances purely quantitative approaches. Perhaps most powerfully, Crime and Punishment affirms that no one is beyond redemption. In an era often characterized by public shaming and permanent judgment, Dostoevsky's vision of human potential for change offers a more compassionate alternative. The novel insists that even after the worst actions, the possibility remains for gradual renewal and crossing into a new reality, speaking to our deepest fears and highest aspirations that the path back to humanity remains open if we have the courage to walk it.